say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
And one more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is good, isn't he?
Yes.
And all the time God is good. We thank God for his word that has been fervently prayed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Amen. Let's give God a praise offering for Minister Aaron Bell. We thank the Lord for his growth and for how God is growing him in ministry. We thank the Lord for praises, because the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Let's give God a praise offering for this choir. Didn't they do a good job in helping to lead us in praise today? And we thank God for the fellowship of the saints and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit in this place. I invite you to stand to your feet. It's preaching time. And over the next 25 or 30 minutes, we want to share a word that the Lord God has laid on my heart and our heart. And so I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy in your Bible. And I want to share in 1 Timothy out of the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. One verse today, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. Say amen when you've located the text.
Amen.
To God be the glory. The Bible reads in verse number 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify God's people. The title of today's sermon, on which I want you to pray, comes from the first part of chapter 4, verse number 12. Let no one despise your youth. So the Lord is leading me today to speak and preach about don't count me out. Don't count me out. Let's pray together. Father, I ask now that your word written, your word given, your word spoken would not return void, but may your word accomplish that which you intended for it to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged, may minds be illuminated, may souls be convicted, I pray. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over everything that shall happen and has already happened. And I ask, Holy Spirit, for thine anointing to continue to flow in this place. We, God, shall be careful to give you glory, praise, and honor. And it is in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus our Christ that we do pray. That all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer. So I want to talk today to our young people, because it is youth emphasis season. As I shared with you in my bulletin notes today, every June, July, August, we switch from women's emphasis season and we turn our attention to what we call youth emphasis season. It is a time when we elevate the work of what we call here at Shiloh our ICYC ministry, our Infants, Children, Youth, and College Ministry, ICYC. And Minister White does a phenomenal job, and I want all of us to give God a praise offering for her, because she is a gift to us here at the Shiloh Baptist Church, and we thank the Lord for her leadership in the ICYC ministry. And we also thank the Lord for the work that is being done. I mentioned to you our kickoff event for ICYC in what's called our Kids Rock 2 event. And Sister Lenora Ross and others and our church worked hard to put that together several years ago, and it's become a staple event that we do, and we're grateful for all the children who were there. How many of our children, parents, if your children were at Kid Rock 2 yesterday, why don't you just let them stand up? Children, stand up, because all of the children who came got a little medal around their necks. A few of them are here, amen. A few of them, mine, a few others went down to the bathroom, amen. And others of them are around in the sanctuary. Let's give our children a big hand, for we encourage them and we thank the Lord for them. And then today, we're going to go over and fellowship with the Beauty Grove Primitive Baptist Church in their revival. And then this week, all week long, as you see on the back of your bulletin, we will have events. And the youth are excited because they're saying if it doesn't rain, there's going to be a dunk tank tomorrow. And in the dunk tank tomorrow, the pastor has agreed to spend at least an hour in the dunk tank and let anybody, children only though, not the adults, just let out their frustrations, whatever they want to do. Dunk the pastor in the dunk tank. Amen. If y'all pay enough money, I might let an adult pay $100 a throw for every adult who want to try to dunk the pastor. It'd be a good fundraiser for the church. Amen. So I know a lot of y'all will be in line. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, and so tomorrow's our community day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is the preaching night, not a preaching, and then Friday will be our sleepover and just a full week of activity. So we're excited. We're excited about our young people. And then over the summer, we have a trip for Gospel Night planned to Great Adventure. And then we have Vacation Bible School. And then we have weekly activities that go on for the rest of the summer. At the end of the summer, we have a big backpack giveaway for not only our children, but 700 backpacks were given away last year. And we're excited about that. Then we have again, a number of other back-to-school events. So the summer is geared towards our children, to encourage them, to motivate them, to inspire them. And so today the Lord has led me to share what I think is one of the preeminent relationships of mentoring that we see in the Bible. And this is a story about Paul and a young man. We don't really know Timothy's age, but a young man by the name of Timothy. We don't even know Timothy's last name, but that's not abnormal, because for most biblical characters, we don't know their last name. Jesus's last name is not Christ, y'all. It's not Jesus Christ. That wasn't on his birth certificate. Just want to help somebody out with that one. It's Jesus the Christ. We don't know his last name. But we thank the Lord that we know Paul and we know Timothy. And so it is this unique relationship that we have come to really learn about and cherish and treasure over the years. So let me give you a snapshot of where we're going over the month of June. Just a little forecast of what last Sunday was, the Lord's Supper. This Sunday is Children's Day. So in between services, we're going to go down and we're going to celebrate Children's Day. It's an actual holiday in the United States, and it'll be a time for us to spend some time focusing on children again. So all youth Sunday school classes are canceled in lieu of Children's Day, and we will spend the time during Sunday school focusing on Children's Day and presentations that will be made. But our adult Sunday school classes will continue unabated. So we invite you to share with us and participate in Sunday school and new members class upstairs. And then the 16th next Sunday is Father's Day, and we're going to celebrate fathers. Incidentally, any of you who work at Thomas Edison State College, we're excited because your president, Dr. George Pruitt, will be honored here at Shiloh on Saturday in a Father's Day brunch hosted by one of our Black Greek letter organizations, Phi Beta Sigma. And that brunch will take place immediately after our sleepover. So from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., any of you who work at Thomas Edison State College or any of you who know Dr. Pruitt, come out and share with us. Tickets are available. You can call the church for a ticket. But he is a man worthy of recognition for his leadership, not only of the world, one of the United States' biggest adult learning universities, colleges and universities, Thomas Edison, right here in Trenton, but it is also right to be celebrated locally for his visionary leadership in acquiring the Glen Cairn Arms and prayerfully redeveloping that into a school of nursing. Somebody give God a praise. That's a great vision, and I'm excited about it. And it was for that kind of vision that we in Phi Beta Sigma wanted to invite him to be a part, to be the recognee and honoree for the Educator of the Year. And so any of you who work at Thomas Edison this Saturday at 10 a.m., we invite you to share. The Sunday after that is Baccalaureate Sunday, the 23rd, and the Sunday after that is Mission Sunday. So a busy, wonderful lineup of great celebrations and invited guest preachers to be with us. But let me turn my attention back to Paul and Timothy. Look at the scripture. I want you to note a couple of things about the scripture. So there's a part A and a part B. I've broken the scripture down. Part A says, Timothy, and this is Paul talking to young Timothy, let no man or woman, no person despise your youth, your age, your young, aspiring energy that you have, right? We looked at young Minister Sharp on the screen, and perhaps for some he's a little bit too animated, and yet I celebrate, because if you know that the Spirit of the Living God is inside of you, then there ought to be something animated about you. Amen. It shouldn't just be a humdrum going through the motions. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. No, you ought to have some excitement. If the Lord has done something for you, what a friend I have in Jesus. All of my sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is for me to carry. I don't know about you, but I'm going to carry all my sins and grief to the Lord. I thank God for his grace and his mercy. There ought to be something animated, on fire and alive about your belief and your testimony in the name of the Lord Jesus. Made all the more excited that he's an educated young man, graduate of Morehouse, on his way to Yale. So you can't say he's just out there bootlegging. He studied to show himself approved. He knows who the Lord Jesus is. And Paul is saying something to Timothy. Don't let anybody despise your youth. Aaron, a young man coming up in ministry. And Corey, a young woman coming up in ministry. And others of our young people who are coming up in ministry, right? This Aaron on Brooks, on the organ. But as you grow in ministry, young folk will say, you're too young to be doing. You're too young to do this. When I first got here at Shiloh, I was 31. I came here when I was about 29, and some folks looked at me and said, I got grandchildren older than you. Now, y'all didn't say it to me, but I know some of y'all thought it. And the fact of the matter is, God is no respecter of age, is he? Out of the mouth of babes, God will speak to young adults and speak to adults. And so God says to Timothy through Paul, don't let anybody despise your youth, but be an example, Timothy. Be an example for the believers. And listen, you be an example before the world, but be an example for the believers. Those who call on the name of Jesus, those who may say you're too young, but they keep their hand to the gospel plow. I want you to be an example for the believers, Timothy, because someone is going to get blessed by you and your testimony. And so you just need to keep firm and stay focused on what God has called you to do. Be an example, Timothy, for the believers. And I would then say parenthetically, and also for the world, because there are folk looking at you, Timothy. And then this is the part I like, and this is the part I want to focus on, the part B of the scripture. He says, be an example in word, in living, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Amen, somebody. And each of those particular items are items that I think we ought to focus on in any given youth ministry, about how we train up our children in the way that they should go, so that when they get older, they shall not depart. And so if you look at the whole list together, put the whole list together, it says, sermonic points, be an example in word, be an example in living, be an example in love, be an example in spirit, be an example example in faith, be an example in purity. And so six key words that Paul shares with Timothy are six key words that I believe I want to share with our young people, not only the little from the smallest tots that we have on up, but I think I want to share with our college students and soon-to-be college students and adult, I mean our adolescents and our teenagers. I want you to listen to the words that Paul tells Timothy. And then adults, I don't want to let you off the hook either, because there's a word for you. Because children are looking at examples. Amen, somebody. And so Paul says to Timothy, I want you, Timothy, you have been called of God to be an example to the believers in word. And so the first sermon of point is just watch what you say. Right? In word. Be careful about what comes out of your mouth. There's the mama, grandmama, whoever in your life that used to say it, because I know somebody said it, whatever comes up ought not always come out. Amen. And so our words, once they're out there, are hard to get them back. And so it is, unless we would think adults would understand this, but children who are still going through their growth phases and growth stages might wrestle with this notion about bridling their tongue. Be careful about what you say. Be an example in your word, in your communication, what comes out of your mouth. Be mindful, Timothy, that folk are listening to you and looking at you about your word. And so I simply say that our words for both children and adults ought to reflect not just good words, but they ought to reflect godly words. We ought to be able to recite and reflect the word of God to somebody. I like Reggie, and as I met him, I really connected with the young man's spirit, and I praise God that he's going to be sharing with us. But what I like about him and his young ministry is the aspect, I'm not just going to tell you something, I'm going to try to anchor it in the word of God. And so just don't look down when you're on your tightrope. The Bible says look up to the hills from whence cometh your help. The Bible says forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forward to those things which are above. I'm pressing on towards the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. You ought to have a word for somebody who is in the midst of a difficult situation. After all, if you believe in the Lord Jesus and he saved you, and he is the word and the word is him, then if you say you believe in him, then your words ought to reflect who he is. Amen, somebody. And so if somebody's going down, you ought to be able to say, God said, his word says he'll be a very present help in time of trouble. If somebody's suffering through economic hardship, you ought to say, the word of God says he shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. If you got somebody who is in the midst of an anxious situation, say to them, the word of God says, be ye anxious for nothing, but by all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request, tell God all about it, and the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. You ought to have a word for somebody. You ought to have a word for somebody on your job. You ought to have a word for somebody in your family. You ought to have a word for yourself. Because when everybody else is discouraging you, you ought to be able to tell yourself, self, I thank God that God is my Savior. Encourage yourself in the word. And so the word, be an example in word, Timothy. Paul goes on to say to Timothy, be an example in living. He says it in verse number 12 at the end, or towards the end, the middle, I should say. He says, be an example in conduct. Some other translation would say in manner of living. And so not just what you say, but what you do. And so this young, you would think Paul is talking to an adult. And again, we don't know Paul, Timothy's age per se. He's younger than Paul. And yet Paul is giving him pearls of wisdom. How you act is going to determine how folk look at you and think about you and receive you. And because you are younger, you've got to act in a certain way. Because if God has called you, Timothy, then you don't want anything standing in your way of people receiving the word of God. And so therefore, you may be younger, but don't let them think, understand that you are young. Act like you understand who you are. And so when we speak to young people, it's not just what they say, helping to train them about what they say, but it's also helping them to train them about how they act, what they do, how they treat one another. You can do a lot with your word, with your actions. Actions speak louder than words. As a great theologian who says, preach the word and I give sermons. And he says, sometimes even use words. Right? Because your life is going to be probably the biggest sermon anybody sees. And so your actions, how you treat folk. And this is, again, not just to the young people, but it's to the older people as well. And then love, right? This third admonition for if word is what I say and living is what I do, then love is how I feel. And the opposite of love is hate. And so there's the world will cause us to want to hate certain people and hate certain things. But I believe that God is love. And so we who reflect him must have a spirit of love. And I'm not just talking about sappy feeling. I'm talking about this sense of maturity to say, I'm a love you in spite of you. I'm going to keep loving you even though it's hard for me to love you. I'm going to keep loving you even if I don't want to love you, because guess what God did for us? He loved us when we didn't even know how to love ourselves. And guess what? If he loved us that much, don't you think you ought to love yourself? Yes, come on, somebody. There is a great majority of folk out there who can't love because they don't love themselves. Self-hatred, which is taught, is an impediment to our ability to love. Because how can you love others if you don't even love yourself? And so Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, I need you to be an example in word, in conduct, and in love. Your ability to love folk in spite of them, right? And that's the key word, in spite. It's easy to love folk who love you back. It's easy to love folk who do nice things for you. Yeah, our children love us, but we do wonderful things for them, don't we? But the reality is this notion of loving in spite of. How do we get to unconditional love? Because conditional love is easy, but unconditional love is what Timothy, Paul is talking to Timothy. So what I say, word, what I do, living, how I feel, how I love. Fourthly, he says, be an example in spirit. Now, in spirit, I'm going to take a little bit of license with the word and say I think Paul is talking to Timothy about how you think, how you think. How you think, because as a person thinks inside of them in their mind, so is that person. And so spirit is distinguished from faith, because spirit I'm going to use as psyche, right? What spirit do you have? There's some folk who have a wayward spirit, an unkind spirit, a negative spirit, a pessimistic spirit. But what's your spirit? Do you bring a good spirit to the table? Are folk glad to see you come and hate to see you go, or are they glad to see you go? Lord, here she come again, always negative. Can't stand to be around her, always done nothing good to say. Pessimistic, always think the world is upside down. I just want to be around some folk who got a good spirit sometimes. Birds of a feather flock together. Come on, somebody. If you're not going to bring anything to the game, then don't go to the game at all. But if you're going to show up to the table, bring a good spirit to the table. Bring a good spirit to your job, because there's enough negativity on the job already. Bring the Holy Spirit into that place. Bring the fruit of love and joy and peace and kindness into that place. Paul says, Timothy, be mindful of your be an example in spirit. And then fifthly, he says, be an example in faith. And so faith, I believe, is what I believe in. And so, Timothy, help folk understand that you believe in a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you ever could imagine, ask, or think. I need you to be able to think and have faith that what the Bible says in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of him who did. diligently seek him. That's faith, y'all. You need to keep seeking God even though you don't see where he is. You need to keep pressing on towards the mark even though you can't see your way out. You need to keep holding on to God's unchanging hand even though you don't know when your breakthrough is going to happen. Anybody living on faith right now? I'm talking about faith. The ability to see something that's not there. I'm talking about faith. Taking a step out on nothing but believing that something is there. I'm talking about faith. To be able to walk by faith and not by sight. I know what it looks like. I know what it smells like. I know what it feels like. But I'm talking about faith. Faith in a God who can move mountains out of my way. Faith in a God who can build bridges over troubled water. Faith in a God who can lead me down through the valley, over the mountains, who can open doors that no man can shut. Does anybody have some faith? He says, be an example, Timothy. Be an example in faith. And then lastly, he says, be an example in purity. So if word is what I say and conduct is what I do and love is how I feel and spirit is what I think and faith is what I believe, then purity is what I don't do. And so purity, which is a conversation that we don't speak a lot in church, do we? Probably for good reason. Because ain't none of us pure. All of us bring some faults to the table. All of us bring some challenges to the party. All of us got some skeletons in the closet. Be careful about throwing rocks and throwing stones, because you live in a glass house too. Come on, somebody. And so purity is one of those interesting words that we don't share a lot with our children, because some of our adults are disqualified from talking about purity. Because if you're not pure, then how can you teach the young folk? I am the first among all of us to say, certainly not 100% pure. Made some mistakes. Been some places I shouldn't have been, done some things I shouldn't have did. But I thank God that God is a God of grace and God is a God of mercy. And some of us sitting here with our nice suits on and driving our nice car, living in our nice house, working in our nice job, you need to understand that you didn't always have what you have. You didn't always drive what you drive. You didn't always live where you're living. It's because of God's grace and his mercy that you are where you are. You are who you are. You have what you have. And so you want to thank God that he looked beyond your mess ups. He looked beyond your skeletons. He looked beyond your faults. He looked beyond your challenges. He looked beyond your foibles. He looked beyond your fallibilities. And he gave you a second chance and a third chance. He's a God of another chance. And I just need somebody here to say thank you, God, for being a God of another chance. I know I'm not right. I know I'm not everything you ought to be. But thank God I'm not who I used to be. Having said that, because I serve an awesome God, then I gotta learn how to walk better. Because I serve an awesome God, I gotta learn how to do better. Because I serve an awesome God, I gotta learn how to praise better. Because I serve an awesome God, I gotta learn how to pray better. Because I serve an awesome God, I gotta have a better testimony. So there's some things that I used to do that I can't do anymore.
Some places I used to go, but I can't go anymore. Because I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to live saved. I'm trying to live a life that is pleasing unto God. At least try to do what God told us to do. Purity. And as I get ready to close this sermon, let me just say to somebody here that that's words for the children. Put this last screen up, the sermonic points. The word of God, what I say, living what I do, love what I feel, spirit how I think, faith what I believe, and purity what I don't do. And now let me just say that's to the young people, y'all. That's to, from Paul, from God to Paul, Paul to Timothy. But let me just say a word to the Pauls of the world. Those of us who the adults who are trying to teach these things to the children. If we're not learning how to love, then how can we teach them how to love? If we're not having no, we don't have faith, how are we going to teach them to have some faith? If we don't concern about what come out of our mouth, how are we going to teach them to bridle their tongue? If we're not living right, how are we going to teach them to live right? If we're not pure, how are we going to teach them to be pure? I need the adults to understand what's going on in the text. Paul isn't just telling Timothy, do as I say, Timothy, not as I do. Paul did what he told Timothy to do. Talking about love, Paul loved his enemies, even when they put him in jail and beat him up. Talking about purity, Paul did some mess ups, but Paul tried to live his life in a way that was pleasing unto God. Talking about conduct, Paul used to persecute, and now Paul is building up. Talking about word, Paul used to curse Christians and curse the God of Abraham, of the God of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But now Paul is building up through his word. My point is, Paul is not telling Timothy something that's theoretical. Paul is telling Timothy something that is practical. And I need some adults here, y'all, to learn how to take these same 6 points and put them into your life. How to talk right, how to live right, how to love right, how to think right, how to have faith in spite of circumstances, and how to live a life that is pleasing unto God. We all have some problems, but at least understand that somebody's looking at you. And let's be an example. And be not only an example to the believers, but be an example to somebody who doesn't know who God is. If I can live my life in such a way that somebody else can say, I want to know the God you know, Armstrong. I want to know why you can do that. I want to know why you got joy in the midst of your adversity. I want to know why you got love in the midst of hatred. I want to know why you're trying to walk right when everybody else is doing wrong. And my testimony will be this, because I serve a God who is able, and I serve a Savior who died on the cross, and I've got a Holy Spirit on the inside that's working it out on the outside. So I'm not perfect, don't look at me, but look at the God that is above me, because he loved me in spite of me. And if we who are adults can figure out how to get those 6 things right and transmit them to our children, I believe the world will indeed, the churches of God, I can't say the world, because the world is going haywire fast. But at least God's church can be a light in the midst of darkness. Come on, somebody. And if the Lord has done anything for you, then you've got to consider these 6 points. Because they're not just points for the children. They're points for the adults as well. And Paul is being an example for Timothy. But here's what I like most. Paul took his example from Jesus. Talking about word, Jesus was the word.
Talking about conduct, he died on the cross for our sins. Talking about love, he says, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his brothers. Talking about spirit, Jesus says, let this cup pass, but Lord, I'm going to go through with what you called me to go through with. I'm going to finish what I started. Talking about faith, he had all faith because he is the author of faith. Jesus, talking about purity, he loved us with a pure love. The only thing he wants back from us is our faithfulness and our commitment to the Father. No one comes to the Father except by me. And so, beloved, I leave these 6 points with you on Children's Day, but as a message for both the children and the adults. Let the church say amen today in the name of Jesus. We thank God for his word. We thank God for his love. And we thank God for his mercy. Deacons and deaconesses and clergy, help me extend an invitation to Christian discipleship. I hope everyone can do a little self-check. Just take these 6 points, do a little self-check. And say, Lord, how am I faring on these 6 points? In the name of the Lord Jesus. And so the deacons and deaconess and clergy all over the congregation are walking, because it is for me an extension into the congregation. This is the fishing time, when we are fishing for new believers and new souls to come to Christ. And so it is my prayer, beloved of God, if there is anybody here not just in need of special prayer, if you want special prayer, then walk out in the aisle and any one of these individuals will pray for you. Because at the very least, I want all of our deacons and deaconess and clergy to know how to pray and how to lead others in prayer and how to pray for others. So you can do that right now. If you are in need of a special prayer, you have a special predicament, you don't have to come up front. Just grab one of these individuals on the aisle and pray with them. They will pray for you. Secondly, and most importantly, is if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, it is my prayer today, it is my prayer today, it is my prayer today that someone would say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to accept you in a special way. And thirdly, if you already know him, but you don't have a church home, and you want a church home, we're not a perfect church, but I tell you what, we're a church that loves the Lord. We're a church that loves his word. We're a church that's trying our best to do right. From the pastor to the pew, from the front to the bottom, back to the top to the bottom. So if you want to join Shiloh today, I invite you to step out of your seat and come on and give us your hand and give God your heart. Those are the two invitations, three invitations, prayer, special prayer. Secondly, membership in a church. But thirdly, relationship. Somebody give God a praise offering today. Come on, choir. Go ahead and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless you, bless you. Let's give God a praise offering in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. Choir's going to sing. The three invitations are extended. Anybody here? Anybody here today? Anybody here today? In the name of the Lord. Anybody else here today? Want to join the church or give their life to Jesus?
Oh Lord.
Anybody else here today?
You pray.
Anybody else here today? Anybody else here today?
Oh Lord, we bless your name. And we lift our voices to say, thank you.
Anyone else here today? Anyone else here today?
And your mercy toward us.
Anyone else here today? in the name of the Lord Jesus.
And your mercy toward us.